Greetings, everyone. This is Brother Bedford, and welcome to my Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. And you're about to listen to my recorded interview with Business Hall of Famer and best-selling author George C. Frazier. Enjoy. This is Brother Bedford from HowToBeABlackEntrepreneur.com, and joining me in conversation today is one of the great black minds in the world today, none other than George Frazier. He is the chairman and CEO of FrazierNet, Inc. He is considered by many to be the new voice for African Americans and one of the foremost authorities on networking and building effective relationships. He is the author of two books, which everyone should have in their library, Success Runs in Our Race, The Complete Guide to Effective Networking in the African American Community, and Race for Success, The 10 Best Business Opportunities for Blacks in America. He's a very popular speaker and an author. His inspiring talks on success principles, effective networking, wealth creation, business ethics, and valuing diversity are not just popular amongst corporate professionals, but is very popular amongst college students. He has been solicited by CNN and Wall Street Journal for his views. Upscale Magazine has named him one of the top 50 power brokers in Black America, and Black Enterprise Magazine has called him Black America's number one networker. And if I went on and on with all of the business accolades and awards over the past years from Mr. Frazier, we wouldn't have time for this interview. So first, we want to welcome you and thank you for this opportunity this morning, Mr. Frazier.
Thank you so much, Brother Bedford, for having me on, and thank you for taking time out of your busy life to do this interview. I'm deeply appreciative, and hopefully today, through your interview, that we can add value and add some insight to the lives of black people as they seek to change the condition of our people and to create and start more businesses and thus create work and jobs for our people, which is really the only way to raise up the poor. That we must create work and jobs for our people, as every other cultural group that has come to this great country has created work and jobs for their people. So thank you for having an acute interest in that subject matter and allowing me to express my views with you today.
Thank you, Mr. Frazier. Well, let's get started. When I'm doing any interviews or surveying those who want to become successful black entrepreneurs, I always ask them what books they have in their library, and I'm a firm believer that we should have the books from the giants in our community that will help guide us on that path. So I always ask individuals, do you have Success Runs in Our Race in your library by George Frazier? And sometimes, to my surprise, those who are on the trek of entrepreneurship do not have the book or have not encountered you. So just briefly, could you just give us a little information on your background for those who may not know you or who have not encountered you?
Yes. I am a native. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, but I'm a native of Brooklyn, New York. My father came to this country in the early 1900s from Guyana, married a beautiful, fair-skinned sister, Ida Mae Baldwin. She was from Lumpkin, Georgia, and they lived in Brooklyn and had 11 children, 8 boys and 3 girls, so I'm from a family of 11. Okay. And at the age of 4, my mother became mentally ill, was institutionalized for her entire life, and my father, who was a cab driver, because when he came to America in the early 1900s, could not get a good education, get a good job, so he was driving a cab, like a lot of immigrants who come to this country, and he could not take care of 11 children working 12 to 14 hours a day. So we were put into an orphanage and then broken up into threes, and then I spent my entire young life until I aged out of foster homes, in foster homes growing up on the streets of Brooklyn, New York. It was a very, very traumatic experience as a young man. I then went on to high school and graduated with a vocational degree in woodworking because my teachers and guidance counselors at the time did not feel as though I was college material. Fortunately, I did not feel that, and for many years worked in the night shift at LaGuardia Airport mopping floors while I went to college, and then the rest is history. So the point here is, life is not about about where you start. It's about where you finish. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone make the decisions about your life that you feel deeply, and go on and do God's work, and, you know, the rest, or the chips will fall where they may.
Yeah.
On to in leadership positions with Procter & Gamble, United Way, and the Ford Motor Company for about 20 years. And then at the age of 41, 42, decided that I wanted to start my own business. So I've been in business now 20 years. And the business was sort of a very provocative idea, and that was to teach Black people the power and importance of relationships, power and importance of networking, power and importance of developing superior interpersonal and people skills so that we as a people could leverage more effectively the collective resources of Black people, our intellectual capital, our financial resources, our human capital, and take our people to the next level. I had sort of identified that particular thing as I watched and observed and experienced in my own life my ability to climb the ladder of success very quickly, not because I had the pedigree of Ivy League educations and fancy degrees, although education is profoundly important, but I was able to climb. Others were not able to climb and to do good because I had really good people skills, interpersonal skills, my ability to get along and work with and through other people at work, at home, and in the community really enabled me to rise because I was able to achieve goals through networking and teamwork that other people just were not able to achieve, although they had all of the working knowledge and they had all of the analytical skills, and they didn't have the other kinds of skills, the operational skills, and they didn't have the people skills. So I identified that as something that we as Black people really needed to work on, especially considering how much Willie Lynch is still deeply embedded in the subconscious mind of Black people, the tremendous crab in the barrel mentality, negative self-image and self-hatred that we had, it was really something that we needed to work on to change, and so that people would rise. So to do that, I started a business called FraserNet, and it was to teach and to train Black people in the area of networking. I began that by putting on networking events each month in Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I live, and then from there produced a directory from all of the business cards that we collected at each of these events where 300-400 people would show up each once a month, and produced a success guide, a networking guide to Black resources, and then from there I went on to write a book on networking some 14 years ago called Success Runs in Our Race, Complete Guide to Effective Networking in the Black Community. And it was that book that is now the seminal work on networking in Black America, began the conversation about networking in Black America. It is required reading in 57 historically Black colleges. We just brought out the 10th anniversary updated version of Success Runs in Our Race. And then, you know, the rest is history. From the book came speaking engagements. From speaking engagements, we began to put on a conference, a big global conference called Power Networking in Atlanta. And then from the annual conference, we began to put on quarterly events now in 11 different cities around the country, teaching Black people the principles, the morally grounded, spiritually rooted principles of effective networking and building relationships, and most importantly, economic development and wealth creation, the closing of the income and wealth gap, which is deeply and closely connected to us sort of getting together to get ahead. We have a lot of us doing a little instead of a few of us doing a lot. That's sort of my life story in 6 minutes. And that's the reason God has put me here. That is my purpose in life. I get tremendous enjoyment and satisfaction from doing that. It's not like work to me. And so I deeply believe that anyone who is on purpose, anyone that is doing what God has put them here to do, not only will they do it well and they will do it with excellence, they'll do it with enjoyment and fulfillment. And they will find a way to make a profit and to make a difference. And that's what FraserNet is all about.
Wow.
A huge website called FraserNet.com, F-R-A-S-E-R, net.com. People, Black people can go there, find out all kinds of information about the things that we're doing, the membership program of FraserNet, the programs that we put on in each city, the annual conference. And I'm just, you know, just excited to be alive and excited to be able to do God's work and to bring our people to an understanding about themselves and about our people and about our community and about the goals and objectives that we must achieve in the 21st century.
Wow. That is such a wonderful story, Mr. Frizz, and I'm so glad that you have given us the opportunity to take a look at your personal journey. Sometimes when we see an individual somewhat in a finished state, we think it's easy. We think they just leapfrog to that position.
Right.
It's so wonderful to hear a refreshing story, to know that you've had some hardships, but you overcame some of those hardships, particularly with entrepreneurship. What were some of the most critical problems that you faced in your beginning stages of FraserNet.com?
The problems that I faced and our team, the team that we put together to start FraserNet, were the problems that are really no different than the problems most African Americans have in starting and building and growing a business. First, the first thing I had to overcome was the teaching of our generation. I'm a baby boomer. I'm 62 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So when growing up, it was very, very important that our parents taught us that we must get a good education and get a good job.
Mm-hmm.
That was the mantra for our generation of parents, because they could not get a good education and get a good job in America. That's what they wanted for their children,
mm-hmm.
to get a good education and to find work and to get a good job and to work for other people. That was deeply embedded and deeply planted in both the conscious and subconscious mind of Black people from my generation. Now, that is not what I taught my two sons, 29 and 25. I taught them to get a good education and to create a job.
Right.
Create a job for themselves, to create a job for their children, and if God gives them the power and the glory to create work and jobs for our people. That's what they learned.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, my two sons are very entrepreneurial, and I've been blessed to have them work within our company, FraserNet, and ultimately this company will be their company. So that was the first thing, get over that. Get over the notion that we have to get a good education and get a good job, get a good education and to create a job. That's the first and most important thing. The second thing that I had to overcome, because I left a six-figure corporate job with the velvet handcuffs of retirement, health insurance, vacations, infrastructure of support did not require me taking money out of my pocket. Anytime I managed something at Procter & Gamble, all I had to do was make a phone call, and the money was there to get, you know, to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to overcome self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And most Black people have to overcome self-doubt. Can I really do this?
Mm-hmm.
Am I capable of managing and leading, starting and thinking about building a business? That's huge. Is it easy to say, Brother Bedford, this is very,
yes.
very hard to do?
Yes.
Self-doubt, because the influences that we have around us, meaning our friends, our colleagues, our peers, the people that we work for, continue to feed that self-doubt when they tell you, man, you got a good job, you're working for Procter & Gamble, or you're working
right.
for Ford, or you're working for United Way, man, you get vacation. So that seeds the self-doubt, and then they're and it builds a callous
mm-hmm.
to giving that up and venturing out on your own. You don't, you know, you and that box is padded with you know rubber, and it's padded with health care, and it's padded with all of the amenities of working for someone, and it's just very, very difficult. And it it feeds the doubt as to whether you can do this and build a box of your own. So that's the number one thing. Number two, I have to overcome this whole idea of being risk adverse.
Mm-hmm.
Black people are risk adverse. We're risk adverse because those of my generation, we are the first generation to really have anything, to have some disposable income as a result of being middle class, and to use that disposable income to buy homes, buy stereos, buy entertainment, and so
right.
we don't want to risk that.
Right.
We finally have something, and we protect it, and we don't want to give it up, and we don't want to put what we have, our home or our nice car or our nice furnishings, we don't want to put that at risk by cutting off a stream of income from the man, from the job that might put that in jeopardy. So we are risk adverse. We have to overcome the fact that if we were able, through the work that we're doing for others, to achieve and to attain these tangible things,
mm-hmm.
that we can also, if we work as hard as we work for others, if we apply the same work ethic to our own thing, that we could also achieve the same, if not more, for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is related to the third obstacle that we have around entrepreneurship, and that is the scarcity mentality versus the abundance mentality.
Mm.
So we have a scarcity mentality. We tend to think that the number of opportunities or the breadth of opportunities for us is limited.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, this opportunity to have this great job, if we give it up, we're not going to be able to find another great job. Or if we go into this business, we're not going to be able to find another business. So we have this scarcity mentality, and really we should have an abundance mentality, because God has made enough for everyone. So I tell people all the time when I speak, Brother Bedford, that we do not lack opportunity as black people in America. We lack capacity. That's the key difference. We don't lack opportunity. There's unlimited opportunity for black people in America.
Mm-hmm.
Unlimited opportunity. We just have to build the capacity to seize that opportunity. Now, how do we know that there's unlimited opportunity? Go into any urban center in America where businesses were closed because we decided that we didn't want to do those businesses, and other immigrant groups come into our community, open up the convenience stores, open up the cleaners, open up the franchise McDonald's and Burger King's and churches, and they do good business. They employ themselves, get 100% of their economic base. They then take our money back to their community because they don't live in our community, and then they spend our money with their people in their community educating their children.
Sure.
So there's unlimited opportunity. It doesn't matter what it is that you want to do. It is there for you to do it if you prepare yourself, if you get over self-doubt, and if you get over this risk aversion that we have. And place your bets. Put your money on the table. Place your bets. Do your homework. Gain some knowledge. Even if you have to work in the business yourself for free as a volunteer, which I did in order to learn my business.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the event planning business. I worked as a volunteer, raising money, talking to sponsors for volunteer initiatives like UNCF, and learned how to conduct my business. So we have to get over this scarcity mentality. And then the fourth doubt that we have, the fourth, I should say, obstacle that we have to get over, and this is heavy duty now. I'm going to say something that might be a bit controversial,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's real based on my 20 years of observations black folk, and that is our fear of asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
See, we won't ask the questions. We think that if we ask the questions, we look stupid or unprepared. Well, I would say to brothers and sisters, you're stupid if you're not asking questions.
Right.
So we have to get over this notion of asking people for help and asking questions and taking notes and doing the training and the work necessary to prepare ourselves to go into business. In fact, the sign of an intelligent man or woman is that they are asking questions. Now, the mm-hmm. key is, who are you asking the questions of?
Right.
Hopefully, you're asking the question of people who are engaged in the business that you would like to be engaged in. In mm-hmm. fact, there is nobody in any business in America that owns that business all by themselves in a vacuum. There's no one that has a monopoly on anything in this country. So whatever business you think you want to go into, whatever idea, unique idea you may think that you have, I promise you there are at least 50 other people in that business.
Yeah.
So how do you get close to the person in that business? How do you learn from that person? Because there's enough business, I don't care what category it is, for everybody. The way you get close to the person that is in that business, the business that you want to do, is find a way to serve them. Find a way to add value to what they're doing. Find a way to help make them wealthy doing what they're doing, and then they will give you the keys to open the door to that particular opportunity, and then you will be able to go into that door and expand that opportunity. That's what we have to do, and that's where we should be asking questions of people who are already doing what you want to do. You do not have to reinvent the wheel out here. There are no secrets in America.
Nice.
Anything you want to know about anything could be found in a book, can be found on a CD, and could be found through the person who is already actively engaged in doing that business. So we have to get over asking questions. So what are the four or five big things? Get over self-doubt. Get over this whole notion of being risk-averse and take some risks, but do it intelligently. Do your research. Get over this idea of a scarcity mentality. Understand there's an abundance out here. And get over this idea of get a good education and get a good job. No, get a good education and create a job. And then get over this idea that you don't want to ask questions because you don't want to look stupid. Well, you're stupid if you're not asking questions. And so if you get over those things, those are the greatest challenges or the greatest obstacles that most aspiring entrepreneurs have to deal with in the quiet of their own mind, in the quiet of their own space, and pump themselves up and begin taking action.
Wow, that was great. I really appreciate that. There's some things that you mentioned there, this fear of asking questions. To my subscribers, some of them are new. Some have some established businesses but are struggling somewhat. And I always advise through the subscription base that you should always look for a model that you can model your business after and not be ashamed to model your business after. So when you said the fear of asking questions, that's really something that I'm a big promoter of, is going to those who are successful in doing what you're attempting to do.
That's right. And it's go to people who are successful and do what they do. That's why they're successful.
Exactly.
They will not hesitate to mm-hmm. tell you what they do. And by the way, anybody that's hesitant to tell you what they do, they ain't really that successful.
Right.
Okay. All right. Because there are no secrets in America. Successful people are always looking to help other people to become successful. This is why they're really successful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we're not talking about corporate secrets, and we're not talking about somebody giving their recipe for their
right.
hot sauce.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No, have your own recipe for your own hot sauce, but they will tell you how to get out here and to promote your secret recipe hot sauce.
Right.
There are no
right.
secrets. Okay. Ask them, and they will tell you, because successful people understand the purpose of life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why I'm successful. And the purpose of life is very simple, Brother Bedford. It is to love, to give, to serve, and to add value to someone or something.
Mm-hmm.
Successful people understand that, and they're ready, willing, and able to do that. And that's why they are successful. If they're not, they won't be successful.
That's right.
God has designed the system.
Uh-oh, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm there. I finished that sentence. Right?
Oh, no, I thought you dropped out for a moment.
No, that's how God has designed the system.
Great. Next question for you. Can you explain the importance of effective networking and why every entrepreneur must learn to network?
Yes. There are a number of reasons. To transcend from management to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
When you own a business, you are, in effect, becoming a leader. Now, you have to have good management skills, certainly, to grow that business and to grow the people who will help you build that business, to grow your team. So you need good management skills. But ultimately, as a small business owner, you need great leadership skills. So that means you have to transcend having just good operational skills and analytical skills, which is problem solving, okay, to having good relationship building skills, relational skills. That all requires networking skills.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not have good relational skills or relationship building skills, you cannot transition from a manager to a leader. You can't. You just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if by accident someone anoints you or you appoint yourself as a leader to help build and grow your business, you will not succeed as a leader without having good relationship building skills, without having superior interpersonal and people skills, the ability to lead and to follow, the ability to build a team and to be a part of a team. The ability to cultivate, nurture, and develop relationships at work, at home, and in the community. The ability to love and to like people and to have people love and like you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have those skills, those good networking skills, in order to grow your business. Because there is no business that I know of that you can succeed at on your own, by yourself, in a vacuum. A, you have customers, so you need good relationship building skills with your customers. B, you have suppliers. You need good interpersonal and relationship building skills with your suppliers. Ultimately, you'll have an employee or two or three or 100. You'll need good interpersonal and people skills or networking skills in order to build that. You may need sponsors. You may need investors. So there's a whole myriad of people that you will need on your team to grow your business. Thus, it requires some great interpersonal and people building skills, great networking skills. And those who are best at that will be the most successful. The reason I am successful is not because I am so bright, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is because of the one skill that I talked about earlier, and that is I develop superior interpersonal and people skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I have succeeded. And so if I can do it, anybody can do it. But I recognize that was the thing that had to happen in my life
mm-hmm.
in order for me to magnify, to grow, and to build my business. So my business started out with just George, and now it's George and 12 other people.
Right.
And all of those people who have started with me are still with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That says something about how I handled and managed those people. right? How I nurtured them, how they were fulfilled through this vision, and they were provided the things that they needed to provide in their own life. So that's what we must look for. Relationship building skills, networking skills are absolutely critically important, because you cannot succeed at the highest levels in America without them. You know, it's just not possible. Not only that, but relationship building skills helps you to fully realize your potential.
Mm-hmm.
Potential. And each of us has unlimited potential. And how do we know that? Because we would not be alive if you did not have, or I did not plant seeds in you with unlimited potential. But we know that the greatest enemy of potential is success.
Mm.
The greatest enemy of potential is success. Why? Because you can build on success, but you can't rest on it. See?
Right.
If you do, you become fat, happy, and stupid. And we know that life is hard, but it's really hard if you're stupid. Okay?
Right.
So what am I saying? Each of us must prepare for success. We have to strive for success. We must achieve success. We must celebrate our success. And then we have to forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then live your full human potential. And so we get a little success here or there, and we wallow in that too often, and we live on that, and we feed on that longer than we should be feeding on that, and we're ignoring the potential that we have, because we're not magnifying that, we're not multiplying that success, we're not building systems that will enable us to create revenues and dollars and to employ our people. And we're not doing that because we have not honed and developed our people skill,
right?
Our network skill. So it's right. critically important. And this is what the book talks about. This is what Success Runs in Our Race talks
right.
about in great detail. Yes, it's a great book on networking, but for those who have read the book, you know that for the first half of the book, I talk about networking in Black America from a historical, moral, spiritual, African-centered perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The history of networking that has gone on in our community that a lot of people discount, don't understand, and have not conceptualized
mm-hmm.
How networking, it wasn't calling it networking back in the day,
right.
That's what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have some perspective around what has enabled us to achieve what we have been able to achieve in spite of the fact that America kept its foot on our necks
mm-hmm.
for 350 years, we still overcame and rose like phoenix. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
How did that happen? What did the most successful of our people, in spite of the oppressive conditions, what did they understand? And what did they do? And then how did they do it to enable them, in spite of the circumstances, the inability to go to school and to be educated as we are able to be educated? It was against the law at one point in time even to read a book.
Mm-hmm.
How did they do it? And there is a rich history of very effective networking, whether it was the Black church, whether it was the Black fraternities and sororities. Those were networks.
Right.
Those were like-minded people coming together, helping each other, serving each other, finding opportunity for each other, supporting each other, and lifting each other up. Those were networks.
Yeah.
That's really what they were. So, let me just recap for a second. To be a leader is to understand that you must transcend being good at just functional and analytical skills.
Mm-hmm.
You must perform relational tasks that enable you to create a fabric of personal contact that will provide you support, feedback, insight, resources, and information. That's called networking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Leaders understand that the alternative to effective networking is to fail. You simply will not reach a leadership position, or you will not succeed at leadership without effective networking skills. Leaders are great networkers and can effectively work with a diverse array of people. We all must become leaders in our own special way.
Wow. That's powerful. The next thing I want to ask, because you really triggered something that you were speaking of. You really talked about this being a cycle, not being, complacent with reaching a certain level of success, and then you get complacent, and then that causes us to not really realize our full potential, so we have to constantly be in this cycle of improving ourselves, going to the next level. Mm-hmm. By you saying that, I want to ask you, because in your second book, you talked about the 10 best business opportunities for blacks in America. And I look every day in the paper at different types of industries that are closing down, offshoring, mm-hmm. all of these different mm-hmm. things, outsourcing, excuse me. What is it that you see that gives us the best opportunity for blacks in business, especially considering the way that technology has advanced and have allowed us to have home offices now? Where do you see opportunity for black people as it relates to entrepreneurship in the future?
Yeah. My second book, Race for Success, the 10 Best Business Opportunities for Blacks in America, mm-hmm. was written almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I saw a decade ago is still relevant today. Mm-hmm. And if we act on these 10 best business opportunities, it will enable us to do two things, to make a profit and to make a difference. And to do well while doing good. Mm-hmm. In other words, we have to kill two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. We must do well and we must do good. And we must make a profit so that we can make a difference. Okay? And you notice I said profit first.
Yes.
I didn't say make a difference. All right. But you mm-hmm. can't make a difference in a market-based economy, in a democratic capitalistic society. Okay? Where the only color that really matters is the best one, is green. That's the only
right.
color that really matters. Slavery was all about money.
Yes.
It's all about economics, okay? You cannot make a difference in America without making money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We must make money. Our Jewish brothers and sisters understand that. Our Asian brothers and sisters understand that. We must make money. And then we can write checks to begin the process of solving our problem. Because everything is about money and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Money and leadership. Now, why do I put it in that order? Because we know that money in the hands of the unrighteous will do unrighteous things.
Mm-hmm.
Money in the hands of the righteous will do righteous things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's put some money in the hands of the righteous, which means we have to make a profit. Let me say that another way. At the end of the day, when we finish pontificating ad nauseam about our issues,
mm-hmm.
somebody's got to write a check.
That's right.
Okay? Our Jewish brothers and sisters can write a check. Our Asian brothers and sisters can write a check. Our Arab brothers and sisters, whether we agree with them or not, can write a check.
Mm-hmm.
We can't write a check. Now, we can organize. We can plan. We can lay out an agenda. And then we must take our agenda to someone else and say, excuse me, sir, will you write a check so that we can do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the opportunity to say, maybe I will,
right.
maybe I won't.
Right.
Now, I might write a check if you change that rule over there to my liking, if you do this instead of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do that, Brother Bedford, I might consider you writing a check.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes their agenda,
not
my agenda.
Right.
Because it applies to the very simple golden rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those with the gold mm-hmm. rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Brother Bedford, if you're writing a check for something or someone, your hard-earned money, someone has come to you, you are going to want to agree what that agenda is, would you not?
Yes.
If you don't agree with that agenda, you're not going to write a check.
That's right.
Right? So that's basic common sense. So money. So where are the areas that we can do well while doing good and make a profit and make a difference? The area of education. We need more black-owned private schools. More small businesses are needed who are suppliers of the variety of products and services needed in the $800 billion educational system in America, one of the largest industries in the world. This would be especially true for urban education, where, you know, 80% of our children are, well, that's a whole other story. And that system isn't really properly educating our children, but there's money being generated. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. Question becomes, how much of those billions of dollars, their products and services that are being purchased, what percentage of those products and services, from pencils to paper to milk and cookies to to training, what percentage of the dollars that are being generated in the educational systems in America today go to black-owned businesses? What percentage of the teachers, the professors, the people who are doing the training in those systems and get paid for that, what percentage of those dollars are being recycled back into our community? We need more black teachers in our urban schools. We need certainly more black males. So if you want to look at what are the job opportunities, well, there are huge numbers of opportunities in the area of education, training, coaching. We have a whole generation of young brothers and sisters or professionals who need coaching and training. We have a whole generation or two of us that have been privileged with the opportunity to climb the corporate ladder and to learn. Well, God didn't give you that information and that knowledge just for you. How are you packaging that up, monetizing it, and giving it back to our community, where we have a whole generation of people that are in an economically illiterate state. Okay, so if you know things, if you know information about money, if you know information about finance, about real estate, about credit, well, then you need to bring that knowledge, whether you're in your church or in your fraternity or in your sorority, at night, on the weekend, and training our people with the knowledge that you have gained. And you can monetize that. You can write books. What have I done with my knowledge? I've written books. I've put on training sessions. I've monetized it. I've turned it into multiple streams of income. So the whole area of education and training in our community. And 50 years ago, we could say, well, we didn't have the expertise. We didn't have the knowledge. We didn't have the experience. We didn't have the wisdom. Well, that is not true today.
Right, right.
We have millions of us that have gotten that knowledge because of the sacrifice that 10 generations made to open these doors. So we now have this knowledge. We have to bring it back and reinvest this knowledge back into our community. And that can be monetized. That's a huge business opportunity. Education. It's a place where we can do well while doing good. That's number. That's opportunity number one. Opportunity number two is in the area of financing and banking. We need more black folks are needed who are skilled in money management and investment strategies and can advise and train the masses of our people. That's it. We are an economically illiterate people. Now, 50 years ago, we didn't have any black folks who were members of the New York Stock Exchange. We didn't have any black folks in investment banking, okay, and finance. Today, we do. We have black folks who graduated from Ivy League schools, working on Wall Street, making millions of dollars, working at all the financial companies, and getting all kinds of training on how to manage your money. We have black folks who have the ability, who are all at all levels of the banking world. We can start and build banks because we know how to do that. We've gotten the training. We have millions of dollars. So there's huge opportunity in the area of finance and banking, whether you're looking at it from an employment standpoint or an entrepreneurial standpoint. Huge area of opportunity. That's number two. Number three, we touched on it, small business development in general is needed to include neighborhood services, franchising, travel and leisure, multi-level marketing. There's unlimited small business opportunities. As I said, we do not lack opportunity, we lack capacity. Mm-hmm. We have to get over some of the problems that we have in thinking about growing small businesses in our community. So huge opportunities,
yes,
right in your own neighborhood, doing business. Number four is in the area of technology.
Mm-hmm.
We must become creators of computer software and become internet content and service providers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't even want to begin to tell you what's happening in the world of digital. Everything is moving back in that direction.
In the what? You kind of faded there.
Digital technology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything is going to digital technology.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will be downloaded into handheld devices. For everything from music to entertainment to books and CDs and tape and speaking and poetry. The distribution system is completely evolving and changing in the world of music and entertainment. There's
mm-hmm.
unlimited opportunity in the world of technology. And every day we pick up the business section of the newspaper and we see new white people who gain millions of dollars dabbling in the world of technology,
right,
starting internet businesses and selling those businesses a year or two later for $500 and $600 million. Why are black people not doing this as creative as we are?
Mm-hmm.
The second, well, more people have become wealthy because of real estate than any single entity in the history of the world.
Mm.
I think the second way to wealth today is through technology. Look at the wealth that has been created through the understanding and the packaging of the myriad of ways technology is affecting our lives. So technology is a huge area of opportunity. Number five is publishing. We want and we must write and publish more books, magazines, newspapers, so as to have a greater control of our minority images, of black images, words, pictures that inspire us and not stereotype or limit us. We must control our own imagery. And with the ease of self-publishing today,
mm-hmm.
whether you want to tell your story, which is an inspiring story, or you want to give people information, training, and knowledge that God has gifted you with, today you can self-publish. You can publish books for really pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So the world of publishing is wide open because we have to begin to control our own images and publish more books. And, you know, and more black people are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a huge area of opportunity. Number six would be engaging in real estate development that fosters the rebuilding of urban neighborhoods. Of $20 trillion will be spent over the next 20 years to rebuild urban neighborhoods and infrastructure. Black folks must financially participate in that expenditure. Okay? We cannot allow our urban centers to be regentrified. All we end up with at the end of 20 years is $2 trillion. Is becoming a renter.
Right.
Just what we used to be. We must move from being consumers and renters to being owners and savers. Okay? So it's critically important that we get involved in real estate development, minimally in our own neighborhoods, which are being regentrified, which means black folks are being moved out. Cost of the housing is increasing because it's close to downtowns in these urban centers. It's close
mm-hmm.
to the communication cores. It's close to the transportation hub. So these are very desirable places for others to develop, and then we are just moved out. Mm-hmm. We cannot allow that to happen. We see it happening in Harlem. We see it happening in Brooklyn, New York. We see it happening in Philadelphia. We see it happening in Los Angeles. Every place we have traditionally been, other folk are now claiming those areas, increasing the value of that property, and we're losing out. So it's a huge area of opportunity to engage in real estate development. And, you know, so we really, really, really have to fix that. Huge area of opportunity. Number seven is we have to leverage entertainment and music, which is a traditional and unique strength that black people have, but we must include ownership and distribution of our creative output. This is the key. Ownership and distribution. Not like the old school groups back in the day, where we were the creative force, we created the music, but other people owned 95% of it and controlled all the distribution of it.
Right.
Okay? Only a few of our artists, like James Brown, were smart enough to say, no, I own all my own stuff. Ray Charles is also in that category.
Right.
He owned his own production. He owned his own work. So we have to, we are a creative force when it comes to entertainment and music in America. We created the only original music form in America brought to the world through jazz. We created rock and roll. We created rhythm and blues. We created hip-hop. I don't even want to begin to tell you the billions and billions of dollars that has been generated because of those music forms over the last 75 years that we own very little of.
Right.
We need to fix that in the 21st century. Okay?
Yes.
Number eight, I think that was seven. Number eight would be to leverage sports, but not just as talent. We don't want to be the $20 million slave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But, so, you see, if I'm Shaq and you can pay me $20 million a year
mm-hmm.
To play on your basketball team, how much you make it?
Right?
So, we have to own the team, not just be the talent on the team. We have to be the agents and the skilled craftsmen and technicians. That's how we need to leverage sport. We have to be owners, agents. We have to recycle the hundreds of millions of dollars from these salaries that our athletes earn back into our community by encouraging them to use black agents, to use black lawyers, to use black accountants, to buy their cars from black dealers, to buy their insurance from black agents. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge opportunity to leverage sports, not just as talent, but as owners and agents, and recycling those dollars. Number nine is healthcare, biggest industry in America, and developing more small businesses that service the biggest industry in America and one that has enormous impact on black folks and is currently going through great upheaval and change.
Mm-hmm.
I know several multimillionaires that look like that but are engaged in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge business, huge opportunity. And we need to get engaged, not just as physicians and dentists, but as business owners, as the whole healthcare industry is going to readjust, come out with new programs and plans, make healthcare more affordable, all of the ancillary and side businesses that will result of this quantum change that's going to happen in America. In the area of healthcare over the next generation or two. And the final one is global commerce, forming new business alliances in Africa, South America, the Caribbean, and China. huge opportunities in all of those areas. If you visited Africa recently, you will notice that there's Chinese all over Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There's many Chinese in Africa as there are Japanese in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing in Africa? They're building infrastructure for these African countries so they can have access to oil. China needs oil for its growth. So they're investing in building the infrastructure in our African countries so they can have first dibs on the oil. We have to get to China. We have to get to Africa. We have to build strategic alliances, joint ventures, and partnerships in the Caribbean and in South America.
Yeah.
So huge opportunity for those who are engaged in international business.
Yeah.
Those, I believe, are the 10 best business opportunities for blacks in America. We have a lot of work to do, but there's plenty of opportunity. And it goes back to what I said earlier. We are not lacking opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We are lacking capacity.
Yes, yes. And I know as we get ready to wind down here, Mr. Fraser, just one last question, because I hear your passion comes through, how it comes through with speaking of our plight and what we must move forward to accomplish. And that really leads to my last question for you is, what is the chief trait or characteristic that you think is critical for us to achieve this entrepreneurial success or all of these endeavors that you just mentioned? What is the chief trait or characteristic that you think that one must have in order for us to move forward?
That goes to a mantra that I ask every time I speak around the country, about 125 times a year. I ask my audience to repeat after me with enthusiasm. And that mantra goes, it's not about me, it's about we.
Mm-hmm.
It takes teamwork to make the dream work.
Yes.
We have the timber that has failed. So the core requirement, the chief asset, the critical mindset that we as black people must have in the 21st century is one of connecting the dots, networking, getting together to get ahead. That is the core trait, because you see, we have everything we need to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom, civil rights, voting rights, public access. We have a $790 billion annual economy. If we were a nation, we'd be the 10th richest nation in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
We have $5 trillion of intellectual capital from just one generation, the baby boomer generation. And we have 9 million of us, 60% of the black workforce, that are doing okay, that are in executive, managerial, supervisory, professional, special, vocational, technical, administrative, sales, and business ownership positions. So we have every succeed except each other. We must now internalize our vision for black people. And the way this vision works is to first understand that there are three phases of development of any people.
Mm-hmm.
First, there is dependence. Let's call that slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is independence. Let's call that freedom. And the final phase, the most sophisticated phase, the critical phase, that we must reach in the 21st century is interdependence.
Mm-hmm.
That is the highest form of cultural development. Jewish people understand this. Asian people understand this. Arab people understand this. Interdependence. So we must believe and we must begin to think interdependently and connect the dots, so that we can leverage our tremendous resources and intellectual capital to take our people into the 21st century. Because if you had a sheet of dots, that could represent beautiful, educated, and moneyed black people all over America.
Mm-hmm.
It could also represent black churches, that can represent black institutions. If you look at that sheet of dots, you'll notice that there is no power there because we have everybody doing their own thing, caught up in a Eurocentric value, rugged individualism. There is no power in rugged individualism. The power is understanding that beautiful African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. And there's another beautiful African proverb that says that when spiders unite, they can tie up a lion.
Right.
This is where we must go in the 21st century, which means we must get beyond this Willie Lynch syndrome, still infects too many black people. Not all, but still too many. This crab in the barrel mentality, this negative self-imagery and self-hatred, this deep belief that the white man's ice is colder and that the white man's sugar is sweeter. So we have work to do on ourselves, but we have the tools. We have the knowledge. We have the people. We have a plan. Plan we have laid out. The objective is simple. The objective is in the 21st century, Brother Bedford, black people must become the number one employer of black people.
Yes.
Black people must become the number one employer of black people. To do that, you must act on six simple goals, and then someone has to provide us the tools to help us to achieve those goals. We can talk about those goals and the tools at another time.
Yes,
the
sir.
Vision, again, the vision, black, and the objective is not complicated. Black people must become the number one employer of black people in the 21st century, as Jewish people are the number one employer of Jewish people, Asians are the number one employer of Asians, Arabs are the number one employer of Arabs. We must do that for our people.
Yeah. Wow, you've given us quite a bit to really think over and study and really try to move forward to bring this into reality. If someone wants to get in contact with you or to purchase both of these monumental books, where is it that they should go or how should they contact you?
Sure, they just go right to our website, www.frasernet, F-R-A-S-E-R-N-E-T, www.frasernet, F-R-A-S-E-R-N-E-T.com, frasernet.com. Everything you want to know about FraserNet, our 20-year-old organization, if you want to become a member, there's information on how to become a member. If you want to buy the books and CDs and tapes, all the information is there. If you want to attend our annual conference in Atlanta, June 27th through July 1st, all the information is there. If you want to attend any of our quarterly business meetings in 11 different cities around the country, all the information is right there. All the dates, times, and places, and those meetings are free, open to the public. They are business meetings. Therefore, business attire is required.
Yes, great. I'll be reaching out to your Detroit director here, Donna McClung, this week to see what I can do to help make your April 11th visit here much more successful than any Detroit visit in the past, because I want to be a part of that. So I'm looking forward
God
to meeting you then, Mr. Frazier.
God bless you.
God
Keep
bless
doing
you.
God's work, and remember, it takes teamwork to make the dream.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Frazier, for your time.
Thank you for listening to my conversations with black millionaire entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant black millionaire entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother, that's the key word, my brother, to 58885. Just text the key word, my brother, to 58885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword "my brother" to 5885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.